program is a presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are just really excited about what God is doing. I do want to take this opportunity to say, you know, be careful for whatever the storm that is out there turning away might bring our direction. Just a practical thing that I had heard and didn't know, so maybe you haven't heard it. And you might not know it as well, and that is if you're driving in wet roadways where there's standing water, make sure you don't have your cruise control on while you're driving through that. It is not the best opportunity or the best timing to use your cruise control. So I used to not know that, and someone informed me of that. I understand why, and so just thought I would share that little piece of practical information with you. Be careful. Make sure you give extra distance to the vehicles in front of you and behind you. And just stay alert out there, okay? We know that God is in control. So we want to start off today by saying thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. That is Bill Andriak and Creative AC Solutions. They work on our AC units at our church and keep them up and running. And if you need some work done in central Brevard County, give them a call. Bill does good work, and he will take good care of you. There have been a number of people who have called and utilized him as a result of hearing about him on the radio program. And I know that he would do a great job for you. So 759-3284, if they can be a blessing to you. And so from time to time, you'll hear me mention people who have been a blessing to us and to our church. And I'd just like to give a shout out today to Lewis Barnhart Roofing. I know when rain comes, that's when you think about your roofing. But several years ago, Lewis did the roof on our fellowship hall and did a great job. Their customer service was excellent. Lewis is a supporter of the radio station here. Didn't know that at the time, but unfortunately, I don't have his phone number here with me today. I'll try and find that and bring it to you again at a later date. But if I believe he's based out of Melbourne. And so if you need a good quality roofer, maybe the rain has revealed a leak you didn't know existed, look up Lewis Barnhart Roofing, and he will do a wonderful, wonderful job for you. So that is a business that was a great blessing to our church several years ago. And like I said, they have just tremendous customer service, and he's a supporter of WMIE here. So thank you, Lewis, for all you do for the kingdom. So we're really excited. We had our food auction over the weekend. We had a great service. We had a lot of fun, and it was actually the most unique auction that I have ever been a part of. I had people, they were the only people bidding on some of the dishes, and they ended up bidding against themselves and raising the price. And it was all because they wanted to be able to send kids to children's camp and youth camp later this summer. And so we just had a great time and had a lot of different dishes. To give you an idea of some of the dishes that were auctioned off, there's a custom homemade mac and cheese. That was one. Enchiladas and rice, authentic Mexican enchiladas and rice. That was another dish. I had my chili, and by the way, there was a person who doubted the quality of my chili. They ended up getting some of the chili, and they said, You know, that was really good. You combine that with that mac and cheese, and that was some really, really good chili. We also had a fried green tomato pie. That was a huge success. It went for like $75. It is just really, really good. There was also paella, chicken and dumplings, chicken and rice. I mentioned the paella. There were a couple of different people who were interested in the paella, and so when they finally came to a resolution on the price of that, one of them went up and said, "You know, your paella is so good. If you will make it again, I will match the same price that was just paid for that." It was a really, really fun time. There was authentic homemade Italian lasagna, cabbage rolls, banana pudding. There's a man in our church, his banana pudding, whenever he brings it, he goes home with a licked clean bowl just about. I mean, there is nothing left. And, there was barbecue pork and whatever else there might've been, please, forgive me. There was one person, they were on their way bringing their dish. It was going to be shepherd's pie. Just a huge, huge blessing. And someone ran a red light, and fortunately, the man that was bringing it to the church was able to hit the brakes, avoided getting hit, but the shepherd's pie was a bit of a casualty. And so we raised a great deal of money where we're going to be able to send those kids to camp. It's not going to be a financial burden on the families at all. And their kids are going to come back. Listen, the camps we send them to, while they're there, they have no phone, they have no tablet, they have no computer, no iPod, no iPad. None of that is able to go. No electronic communication at all. They just get a week of fun and learning and growing in their relationship with Jesus. So that's what our week has been looking like, and we're really excited about it. I want to go ahead and take you back to Isaiah chapter 9. As I was studying and preparing for this broadcast, I noticed this. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there's a reference that keeps coming up. We've talked about how the people were responding to this assault from Assyria. They were responding with pride and arrogance of heart, and they said, "We'll rebuild. We'll use different materials. I'm sure these materials will be better than they were the last time." And in verse number 12 is the first place that we notice this phrase. It says, "For all this, his," capital H, "anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." You might read that and say, "Well, we'll just go ahead and pass over that," until you come to verse 17, where the same words are repeated. "For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Again, in verse number 21 of chapter 9, "For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." In chapter 10, verse number 4, "For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." And what I get from that is whenever God repeats something over and over again, he's trying to get our attention, and he is saying, I really want you to respond in such a way that my hand will not be stretched out in such a way that it is preventing you from your course of destruction, but my hand would be able to be propelling you on the pathway of success. I was doing a sermon one time on success, and I don't define success the same way that the world does. The world defines success by the number of zeros in your bank account. I have a number of zeros in my bank account. They're just on the other side of the decimal point from where everybody else's decimal point, you know, where they might have $1 million. You know, my zeros are just there's a few more on the right side of the decimal point than there is on the left side. There's a lot of people who define success as to your position in your corporation or or how many toys you have, or, you know, the status you hold in the community. The success might be defined by the car you drive or the label in your clothing. That is all temporal and worldly, and all of that stuff is going to end up in the junkyard anyway. That is not the definition of success. And when I was talking about success from a godly perspective, one of the things that I noticed is that God's hand was propelling people to success. I want God's hand to be behind me and motivating me and directing me. That's one of my definitions of success, is when God is supporting me, then I know that I am doing what he wants me to do. That's what I deem a success. I also deem a success as making the most out of an opportunity. Whether or not somebody else achieves something better than that is not my definition of success. I'm not comparing my success with your success. I'm comparing success with the level of my obedience to what God has called me to do. And so I encourage you that if God is standing there and he's trying to get you to the place where he wants you to be, that is a great thing, because there you are not going to be facing his anger. You are going to be his delight. You are not going to find that his hand is stretched out against you. You are going to find that his hand is stretched out against his enemy. So I just wanted to touch on that for just a moment, but I really wanted to start focusing on verse number 13, because it gives the reason for that first reference. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And it says, "For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly." And there that phrase is repeated again, "For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." So I want to look first of all at the reasoning behind this. It says, "For the people do not turn to God." The people were not turning to God. You know, I remember a time where tragedy struck America, and as a result of that tragedy, immediately people began to fill the churches and they began to seek God and praise God for that. But within a matter of just a few weeks, they had stopped seeking him. You see, America is to a large degree following the ancient Hebrew path of God is blessing, and so we will not seek his face until oppression begins to come, and then we will repent and we will seek his face and we will go through the cycle again. America, for the most part, the official position is that we don't want to have anything to do with God. We want to isolate him from our marketplace communities. We want to marginalize people of faith until there's a tragedy, and then we want to bring God out to center stage, and we want to pray the ceremonial prayer and ask God to move in our land and bless America once again. And once we are through the crisis, we want to march him back to the corner and isolate him once again. And I want you to know that God is not mocked. It is impossible for God to successfully be mocked. You might think that you are getting away with it, but there's coming a day when God is going to give a reply, and you will see that God is not mocked. "For he who sows shall of the Spirit also reap." You and I, we need to realize how valuable it is for us to seek God. And so a lot of times when we are in seasons of adversity, It is actually a propulsion of our spiritual man. It drives us into the presence of God. That is not a negative. That is a positive. Anything that compels me and motivates me and drives me into growing in my faith is not a negative. It's a positive. We just need to see things the way that they are meant to be seen. It says, for the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. And he says, as a result of this, head and tail are going to be cut off. And then he goes on to begin to describe what the head and what the tail is identified as. It says, the elder and the honorable, he is the head. And so God says that, during this time, because society is not seeking him, that they are going to lose the honorable in their community, that there's going to be the elder, they're going to be taken out of the picture. And, you know, we've had a number of people in our congregation this last year who've lost aged loved ones. It's not because we're living in disobedience or anything like that, because the Bible says precious in the Lord is in the Lord's sight is the death of his saints. And so the reality is that those who have been promoted into his presence, that is not a negative for them. That is a positive thing. And one of our most recent family promotions, a couple in our church, her mother has passed away. She said, I realized that my mother wouldn't come back to this world for anything. And that's the reality of how awesome heaven is it is going to make everything that is beautiful in this world pale by comparison to how majestic and awesome heaven is with the presence of Jesus Christ. So it said the elder and the honorable, he is the head. And here's what is identified as the tail. The prophet who teaches lies. That's in verse number 15. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. So on the one end, you've got the honorable. And by the way, don't you want to be honorable in your society? Behave in an honorable manner. One of our families in the church, they attended a funeral and memorial service. This goes back several years ago, and felt like God spoke to them. He said, I do not honor him for the honors that men have bestowed upon him. I will honor him for the honor that he gave to me. And so we want to live our lives in an honorable fashion, that we want to be people of uprightness. But there's another people, the Bible says, we want to be the head, we don't want to be the tail, and that is the prophet who teaches lies. The prophet is a spiritual office. So you need to understand there are a lot of people who are confused about what goes on in the body of Christ. There are a lot of wonderful things, but the scripture makes it very clear in the New Testament and here in the Old Testament that not everything that was taking place in the house of God on a broad spectrum was upright and honorable. Eli, the prophet before Samuel, was corrected by God, judged by God, and disciplined by God because his children who were serving in the ministry were acting in a sinful and dishonorable way. He knew about it and didn't do anything about it. You and I cannot afford to be negligent in our responsibilities. We need to make sure that we, as the people of God, submit ourselves to God and say, God, check my heart, inspect my life, search me in my innermost being, and see if there be any unclean thing in me. And if there is, get it out. You know, several years ago, a number of years ago, almost 20 years ago, my wife went in for a test, and they didn't find anything with that particular test, but they found something else that caused them alarm. And so they did some other tests, and they didn't find what they thought they were going to find there, but they found something else. And so they sent her for more tests, and they said, you know what? We have run every test that we know to run. We can't figure out what it is that is going on there, but we know what it is not. We know what it is not. And so when it comes to my spiritual life, I want God to do a complete scan. I don't want him just doing a test on a portion of my life. I want him to make sure that there is no unclean thing residing in my heart, in my spirit, in my mind. I don't want any of that there. And so there are a lot of people who don't understand that not everything that is going on in the church is God endorsed. It's talking about prophets who are teaching lies. And there are a lot of people. Now, listen, that's why when I'm preaching, I try and stick to the Word of God. If you, one of the things that people say to me when they come and hear my preaching is, your preaching is so simple. It is so easy to understand. And, you know, that's what I try and do. I try and bring the Word of God. I try and bring relevant truth. But I want to bring it in a way that it is going to affect and make an impact on the way that we live on a day-to-day basis. That's what I try to do. But as long as I'm teaching the Word of God, I know this. The Scripture says, thy word is truth. That's truth. And I don't want to be preaching deception. I don't want to be preaching lies, because I don't want to be the tail that is cut off. A number of years ago, again, this probably 20 years ago, I was preaching about the way that Jesus is going to present his bride as without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And I have a picture. It's one of my favorite portraits of my wife. It's of her on our wedding day. It was taken before the wedding took place. She is just beaming. The radiance in her face is just absolutely gorgeous. I look at that picture and I'm just captivated by the woman in the dress. But when she looks at the picture, she notices that when they were putting the dress on her that day, that the hanger strap that held the dress onto the hanger, it didn't get positioned properly. And so on this particular shot, you can see the hanger strap inside the dress. And so she focuses on that blemish instead of focusing on how beautiful a bride she was on that day. And that's what takes place in our society, is people look at the church and they see certain things that take place and they want to beat up on God's bride instead of realizing that one day God is going to take care of all of the wrinkles, all of the stains, all of the blemishes, but the bride is going to go to be with Jesus. And so I, when I preach that message, I ask this question, and that is quite simply this: are you part of the bride or are you part of the blemish? Are you part of the bride or are you part of the blemish? Because the bride has the heart of Christ. The bride has the love of Christ. The bride's going to spend eternity with Jesus, but all of the blemishes, the stains, the wrinkles, all those are going to be left behind. Make sure that you are not being deceived. In the last days, it says, there are going to be people who will be following deceiving, that is lying spirits, people who are saying things, and they're saying it with spiritual authority, but they are not they're not accurate. Now, I'm not saying that everybody goes around calling themselves a prophet is lying. That's not what this is saying at all. It says that there were people who were prophesying lies. They were teaching lies. And it says, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. That's the part that makes it dangerous. When people start lying and leading people into error and trying to do it from a spiritual platform, that is a very, very dangerous place to be. And so I don't care if somebody is in the political arena trying to lead this country into error, or if it's a judge doing the same thing, or a pastor, or a so-called prophet, or anybody else. If anybody's trying to lead you into error, stop letting them lead you. It's very, very simple. I was leading someone yesterday, had breakfast with them, had a great conversation, and I was leading them back to the church so that they could see the church. And I looked behind me, and there was a vehicle that had cut in between us, and so I couldn't see whether they were still following me or not. They were there, and then they weren't there, and I could tell a little bit later that they'd just been cut off by another vehicle. So they were still following, but there have been times when, like on Sunday, I was, on Saturday, I was following my wife and daughter home, and we got to a certain point, and I didn't like the path that they were taking, so I went a different way. And we both got home at the exact same time we would have anyway. But if you feel like you are being led into error, or you're being led to destruction, I encourage you, stop following spiritual error. Make sure that you are discerning the things that comes forth, that it lines up with God's word. I don't care if it is a sermon. I don't care if it's a judicial ruling. I don't care if it's a dictate from Congress or from the Oval Office. If it doesn't line up with God's word, don't follow it. Am I preaching rebellion? Absolutely not. My definition of rebellion is staying true to God's word. That is what I'm called to do. And so, it said that that's what was going on. People were in there. They were speaking foolishly. They were speaking folly out of their mouth. And the reality was, it did not change the position that they had with God. It did not bring them to that place of Him being pleased with them and blessing and endorsing the things that were going on in their community. We need to seek God's face. So can I just rally you around today and maybe ask that this Tuesday that we spend some time seeking the face of God, and instead of criticizing your pastor or criticizing anybody else, you could say, God, would you by your spirit lead them to truth so that they can lead us to truth? We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.